Bless you. I'm feeling very blessed as a mum today. How lovely. Thanks, everyone. All those beautiful prayers were fantastic. And thanks for the worship, guys. We have such a wonderful team. I think we need to give them a bit of an encouragement too. Thank you so much. So today I'm continuing on from what Simon started us off with last week. So a few months ago, back in March, we had a couple of, felt very prompted to have a couple of prayer meetings to really ask God, what's in your heart for us as a fellowship and what's ahead for us? And 5 points came through from that we prayed into. And so we're going to be praying a couple of weeks on each of those points. But they're things that for all of us, even if you don't normally fellowship here, that they are things that we can hold into our hearts from the Lord. And with these 5 points, there was an encouragement to say, guys, you've been doing these things, it's great. But there was also an exhortation to say, stay on track. Don't get distracted or discouraged. You're on the right thing. So stick with it. And so our first point was God has no boundaries. And so Simon demonstrated very clearly that often what we try to do is box God in and make our idea of God small. And he's by no means small. The way he talks to us, and he gave great examples through the Bible about the way he talks and leads us, can be so different and so varied. And God's wonderful in the way that he'll talk to us just the way he's made us, the things that we relate to, he speaks through often. So there's no formula to God. We can't box him in. And he wants to use us in ways that we might not think possible. Again, we can't put limits on God and what he wants to use you for and do through you. Even when you don't feel capable or worthy, God wants to use you because he loves you so much. And so today I wanted to start off with a thought that it's really important for us to remember that we're made in God's image and not the other way around. God is not made in our image. People have tried to work out God with that kind of thought in mind, that the way that humanity relates and looks somehow reflects, determines for us how God really is. But if we do that, we can really quickly get a wrong picture of God. And that's quickly exampled with people who may have had a father growing up who was quite stern and strong and dominating and oppressive, really. And if we relate that to our picture of God as father, we can quickly get the idea that God is wrathful and it's very hard to see him any other way. And I've met many people like that who find it really hard to understand that God loves them with a perfect love and wants them to be near. In addition to that, as we understand correctly who God is, then we really know who we are as well. That he is a beautiful, loving father and we are his very precious children. God is not distant and we are not disconnected. God is here for us. And throughout Scripture and through his Spirit with us, God has always been trying to relate to us what he is like. In the Old Testament, we see him speaking through particular people, prophets and seers. There's one seer, I went backwards. That's not the way to go. We're going forwards. And we're going forward. Yes, we are. And we got it all at once. There we go. Oh, there we go. That's even better. All right. There was a story where the Israelites left Egypt and they are going through the desert toward their destination where God had them. was destining them to the promised land. And as he was going through, it was pretty freaky for the kings in that day to look out and see millions of people walking through. So King Balak was very frightened and overwhelmed by seeing the sea of people. So he got Balaam, who was a seer. So he was very open to the spiritual, not necessarily a God-fearing man, but he could hear God. And King Balak said, I want you to say a curse over these people. So Balaam had the wisdom to say, look, I'm going to hear what God says and I'll speak that out. And when he did that, God spoke through him and he said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. So God had promised to bless Israel, and God was saying that he's not about to change. What I say is what I do. God is consistent in his word and his actions. So his promises are going to remain and they're always going to stand. God fulfills all of his promises. Later on, we see him speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and God was speaking through Isaiah to the Israelites. They'd got a bit complacent, got a little bit too comfortable, and he wanted to remind them about his promises that he wanted to carry out through them, and that they needed to walk humbly before God, have a repentant heart, and hear and have a soft heart, as we were reminded first off this afternoon with Melinda's prayer, that we'd have a soft heart to hear God and receive him. And God said through Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God is, and then he finishes off, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. So the promises he's always said to him, they could rely on him, that is exactly what was going to happen. That's what he had planned. And his words are not like our words. They have power to actually accomplish what he always had set out originally for his purpose to be through those things, through those words. God has always wanted and is revealing who he is, yet in some ways there's always going to be a mystery about God, isn't there? We can't totally figure him out. If we could, then he really wouldn't be God. So for us, God is a little bit beyond working out. And we can see this through Job 36:26, where it says his years are beyond understanding. How can we fathom eternity? And in Ephesians 3:19, it talks about God's love, that it surpasses knowledge. So God's love is so extreme that it's we can't really fully understand or grasp what his love is really like. Now, last week Simon had props, so I thought I can't let him outdo me. So today is my cardboard prop. He had lots of boxes. I've got one lovely long tube. So what is this? Well, I want us to imagine, in terms of God and eternity, it's really hard for us to understand eternity or comprehend it when we're so bound in time. And so what this tube represents is time. So right at the beginning, time started, everything came into being. And then the history of this earth and us continues on. Jesus comes, he lives, he dies, he rises again, and our history continues, and then the end will come when Jesus wraps it all up for us and we go and be with him. And around that is eternity and God. So he can see time. He knows what's happened all the way along that continuum. We're trapped in here. We're finite. We can't see everything, but his knowledge is infinite and he's not trapped in time. And so when we look at that, we can understand that, wow, sometimes if I can't understand God, that's okay because he's bigger than me and he's infinite. Sometimes I might just need to trust him even when I can't understand him because he is so wonderfully big. I'll bring this out again later on. So when we're talking about God having no boundaries, the thing that has come to me, one thing that is so unbounded is God's love. God's love knows no bounds, and his love for us is in relentless pursuit of us all the time, all the time. Love comes from God, and in 1 John, he says, God is love. And nothing yells more loudly about his love than the crucifixion of Jesus. God reveals himself through Jesus, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Our redemption and our intimate relationship with the triune God has always been God's plan for us. Let me read this from Ephesians. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. How amazing. God's plan and our destiny has always been to be set apart for God. That's always been in God's heart that would come about, that we would be his. And it talks about in verse 5 that he predestined. And sometimes there's this conversation about predestination. Did he predestine me and not someone else to be with him? But he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the predestined one. He's always been the predetermined one to come, to live, to die, to be raised again to new life that many would come to follow. So Jesus is our predestined one who opens the gate for all of us to enter in to a beautiful love relationship with God the Father. God's plan has always been for all humanity to be at one with God through Jesus and through a decision of faith. How amazing. Why don't you just turn to the person right next to you right now to say, God loves you. Yes. So God's love knows no bounds. And what's really amazing is that sin is no barrier to God's love either. So when continuing on in Ephesians, when Paul was talking to the church, the Christians at Ephesus, he was talking about, you know, before you put your faith in God, you weren't even looking to God. And you were going your own way and you loved sin and darkness. But then he continues on. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. How amazing. What love is this? God didn't even wait for us to love him first, but he comes and does everything for us. He's willing to die. Sin is no barrier for God to come into our life with his love. Sin is a barrier for us. Sin blinds us to the love of God that is with us, wooing us. In 1 John 2:11, I don't have this one up, but it says, look, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Sin blinds us. That's why God hates it so much. That's why he's so determined to get rid of sin, because it becomes a barrier to us knowing who our wonderful Father is. And he so wants each of us to know his goodness, that he's a good Father. If sin were a barrier to God, then there is no way that Jesus, who is fully God, fully man, could have hung out with the prostitutes, the sinners and the outcasts. But that's exactly where we found Jesus to be, isn't it? God does not wait for us to love him first, but he lavishes his love on us. What a beautiful God we have. God saw the sin of humanity and the need for this sin to be dealt with once and for all. And God knew that a perfect sacrifice was needed. It wasn't on earth. So God put on flesh and became that sacrifice himself. So God is not only the good and just judge, but he is also the justifier. God does it all. He sees the problem and he becomes the solution. He's always intended that there would be nothing to stand in the way of us coming to him. And he planned it all way before you and I even came into being. In 1 Peter 1 verse 18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And we know that the lamb signifies sacrifice. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. It was predetermined that Jesus would come to live and die and be raised to life for our redemption. How amazing. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and this time say, God loves me. So now what? So now we get to shine and demonstrate God's love and to be expression of his love in our life. Ephesians going on in 2:6, lots of scripture tonight. And God raised us up with Christ and he seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So now we have this sort of present day spiritual reality that as new creations we are raised to new life, and we've been given divine authority, because we know that where Jesus is, he's sitting in a place of authority, and we're sitting in Christ, a place of rest. You know, the victory's been done, won. Jesus has done it all. And in order, if we keep going, that in coming ages God, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So it's saying that all of this is done with a single view in mind, and that's to demonstrate through all the ages to come, if we think about our column, our tube. Jesus came, died, rose again, and all the ages to come, God is putting on display through us the incomparable riches of his grace through all of history, exhibiting his wonderful favour to humanity through all that he's done through Christ. And it's saying it's in the coming ages, so for all of history and more. So it's not just to us he's showing this, but to heavenly beings, to the angels, to show all of the universe the delightful, wonderful, exquisite love of God through what he's done. And that word kindness also in Greek means his love in tender action. Beautiful, which God showed to us when we needed it most. And it's all God. He does it all. He initiates it, he does it all, and the life we live is all him in us. Ephesians 2:8, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. He's saying even the faith that you have to believe is actually a gift from God. Amazing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul's making it so clear that it's just nothing about us. It's all God working in and through us. And that we're God's workmanship. We're his work of art, his new creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance to do. So we're saved to do good works which demonstrate this beautiful salvation that his love has brought to our lives. But the things that we do too, we can't even take credit for that because God's already worked that out for us. From all eternity, he's worked out for us these good works that we do. It's all God. Our part is just to believe and have faith in God, his good purposes and his plans for us. How amazing. So I want to leave us with this thought. Feelings, faith, or tunnel vision, or faulty focus. Looking through our tunnel. We actually get to choose. Amazing. Again, amazing that God would give us free will. It's amazing. What will we choose today? Will we choose our feelings that go up and down, go all over the place? Because sometimes we need to be careful that we don't allow our experience of life and of God or our feelings not to dictate our theology or our understanding of God. We need to be so careful about that. And when we face trials and challenges and suffering in life, which we all do, it can be difficult to reconcile that experience with God's love. We might be saying to ourselves, look, if God really loves me, how could I be going through this? You know, it's this point and this moment of challenge of our faith that comes to all of us. And it will come to all of us, and God is looking to see what will we decide at that point. In 1 Peter 1, it talks about the trials that we go through, and God uses those trials to test our faith, to prove our faith, to strengthen our faith, so that we can stand steady and strong no matter what comes at us. Maybe as I'm speaking about trials, you might immediately be able to think right now, oh, yeah, I can remember something that I really had to persevere through. And it was hard, but I kept trusting on God, even with a tiny little mustard seed of faith. And God brought me through. Fantastic. Maybe you might have had mixed results with this whole going through trials business. Maybe, you know, you're okay 1 minute and then you're totally doubting again, you can't see God and you're freaking out. You know, well, even Peter, who got out of the boat in faith, began to sink. So we don't always get it right. But Jesus is there. Jesus is with us. Maybe you're going through trials right now and you're trying to see the goodness of God in the midst of what you're going through. And his goodness might seem a bit blurry or absent right now. And I know for myself, I've seen God work in the big things and in the little things. I've seen him really bring me out of decades, I guess, of personal suffering. Wow, with a miracle. Thank you, Lord. And then in the little things, wanting to construct a whole new set of shelves for the laundry, thinking I've really got it, and realising, actually, Maria, it's a big disaster. Going to bed that night, and in my dream, God gives me the plans to build my shelf. It was brilliant. They're still standing. They look fantastic. No disaster whatsoever. How good is God? The big and the small things. God is here for us. God is here for us. So let's not get tunnel vision on our problems. It's so easy to do that. Let's not do that. Don't Google everything about what could possibly go wrong. But keep anchored in God's boundless love. Find some scriptures that are really speaking to your situation. Focus on that. Meditate on that. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. And have faith that God is always working on our behalf. Even when you can't see it, he's always working. Jesus said that. My Father's always at his work. And he's always at his work for our benefit and for his glory, that his love might shine through us. What will you choose today? I'd like to finish with a prayer, the Ephesian prayer, and maybe the worship team might get up. And pray first? No worship team just yet? Okay. Beautiful. Okay. Let's just pray. Let's invite Holy Spirit in. I'm just going to pray the Ephesian prayer from verse 16. Thank you, Lord. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, that God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp, to perceive and fully understand how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that it's way too large to measure. And it goes on from eternity to eternity. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge. It goes beyond our understanding. May we all be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your divine power that's at work within us. To God, we give you all the glory in the church and in Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Elena and Holly is going to sing us a song.